What is up, guys? It is Dylan Lepore here, and I got some exciting news. If you're watching this on my YouTube channel, this is certainly news to you, but if you're on SoundCloud, this is new to you. Welcome to my first ever Monday morning PlayStation podcast with Dylan Lepore, me, your host. And each and every week, I post a video on Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time as an MP3 and video file on YouTube and SoundCloud. You can go to youtube.com/DylanLepore or soundcloud.com/Dylan_Lepore. And if you feel like tossing me a couple bucks to help support this channel and help me go on, and I might get SoundCloud Pro Unlimited to further these podcasts, but go to youtube.streamlabs.com/DylanLepore with that pound sign at the end, because they had to make it difficult. But yeah, this is my first ever podcast, and I hope you guys enjoy. This is completely PlayStation-centric podcast, and it's supposed to be fun. Just me to talk to you guys and discuss my love of PlayStation. This is either going to be 30 to 45 minute long. I don't really know, but we'll see how that goes. So, first topic of the day: Sony believes PlayStation Vita is still a viable system. Now, my PlayStation Vita is amazing. I love my PlayStation Vita. It's the best thing ever. I have to tell you this story one time. On Mother's Day, I decided to get my mom to buy me a PlayStation Vita. And it was Mother's Day. My birthday is on May 25th. I just turned 19, and I just had my graduation party yesterday. And I'm graduating from high school on the 7th of June. So you'll hear this you'll hear this after I graduate. So that would be pretty awesome. But yeah, I got this on Mother's Day, and it was at a flea market. My mom wanted to go to a flea market for Mother's Day. Don't ask me why, but she wanted to go to a flea market on Mother's Day to buy stuff, and I guess that's why. But I saw it. My brother pointed out there, he saw a PlayStation Vita, and I was like, where do you see a PlayStation Vita? Because at this time it was like 2012 2013, at this time PlayStation Vita was new and it just came out. And so I walked over there, I followed my twin brother Noah to this lady with this case, and she had a PlayStation Vita, and I think it was because it was baking in the sun. It was in a case, but it was like baking in the sun. I think that's why there's like black dots, and I don't know if you guys get the black dots behind the PlayStation Vita, but I think it's because of the sun. I'm not sure, but yeah, I got the Vita, and it was the $300 version with the AT&T card in it, but I didn't use that. I was going to use it. It was the 3G hotspot, 3G Wi-Fi, and cellular service. And nobody really used that because they didn't really integrate it well. Sony, what they did with the PS Vita, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it was $100 off, and I was like, that's pretty cheap because it just came out. It was $100 off, and she threw in some accessories and a game or two, and it was awesome. I begged and begged and begged my mom to get this for me. And we were like standing there for like 30 minutes or an hour because she finally gave in and got me the PS Vita. Because I was like, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. I'll do the chores. I'll do the trash every day for the rest of my life. I was exaggerating, of course. But she could tell that I really wanted it, and I did, and I love my PlayStation Vita. PlayStation Vita is one of the best things that Sony has ever made, next to the PlayStation 4. But yeah, everything Sony makes is amazing. But that PS Vita was incredible. She wouldn't allow me to play it until I got it was my birthday, because it was a birthday present, of course. And I was just really excited to play it. I was like, this PSP, I was holding my PSP while I was home, and the PS Vita that she bought was in the car. And I was holding my PSP, and I was like, I have a PS Vita downstairs in the car. And I was like, why am I not using this? Why don't I have this? And so, actually, she doesn't know this, but I snuck outside and I wanted to play the PS Vita really bad. Because as soon as we left the flea market, because she had to go to an AT&T to get like $200, because she didn't have $200 on her. It was a long process. But I was so excited to get it. I was thrilled. Thrilled. But yeah, I snuck into my mom's Infinity, and I grabbed the PS Vita. The PS Vita wasn't charged. It wasn't charged. I was just holding it. I wanted to feel it. I wanted to hold it. I wanted to look at it. I wanted to examine it, and it was just amazing. I was so filled up with joy. It was like it was like the moment when I first opened up my PS4, because I bought my PS4 brand new in the box at Walmart, and as soon as I opened it up, it was like, oh my God. You get that feeling, that so excited feeling that you just got this thing and you worked hard for it, and I raised the money to get the stuff. And for the PS Vita's case, I begged for it. But for the PS4, I actually worked. I didn't spend a dime. When I first heard the PS4 was coming out, I didn't spend a dime until, and remember, this was like 2014, and I was like, I just had a birthday and I just turned 19, so that's like, whatever. Whatever. And yeah, I was like so filled up with joy, and because I finally got it. And the PS Vita is a great device, but let's talk why the PS Vita is still a viable system, especially for indies. I know a lot of people do not want to play indie games, but they want to play the AAA games, and AAA games are good. Like I got the PS Vita, excuse me, BioShock. I got the Killzone, Mercenaries, Assassin's Creed, Resistance, Uncharted, Golden Abyss. I got all those AAA games. I even got Borderlands 2, which is awesome. They ported that. That's like the biggest AAA game they have on there, on the PlayStation Vita. But really, the PlayStation Vita is one of the best consoles, especially handheld consoles, that has ever came out. And I'm hoping that Sony or anybody comes out with a much superior one than that. But I'm not. I know the Nintendo Switch came out, but something more, because Nintendo's good with their handhelds. We already know that. They make the 3DS. They made the Game Boy. I have all the Game Boys. I do not actually have a 3DS. I don't have a 2DS either, but they make great handhelds. But I just want to see somebody else that's not a PC maker, like the Razer stuff. I want to see something like dedicated, like Xbox or PlayStation, or somebody else that comes along. That would be super exciting, because I know they already have the tablet gaming. But I just feel like they're definitely thinking about it. I know they're thinking about it, but why does Sony believe it's still a viable system, but even though they stopped making it? Sean Layden has admitted, he's the PlayStation American chief, Sean Layden, the PS Vita is still a viable platform, chiefly in the Japanese and Asian markets, because in Japan, They have tons and tons of JRPGs and RPGs, and everybody loves Persona 4. That's just one of the examples of the hundreds of JRPGs and games they keep making over there, because they have a ton of games that we never get. And if you go on to PlayStation PS Vita weekly update YouTube channel, YouTube videos, posts videos all the time of him just every week posting about PS Vita updates, specifically PS Vita updates, and he's still doing them today. He started way back when the PS Vita just started, and he talks about all these foreign PS Vita games and imports coming, because he lives in Australia, so imports are pretty big. And yeah, it's crazy how wildly in Japan it is. In the US, it's just like nobody cares about it anymore. There's not a lot of people really caring. And but there's websites like Limited Run Games, they're amazing. This PS Vita magazine, I don't know the exact title, but I think if you look up PS Vita magazine, you'll be sure to find it. But he goes on to say, we still have developers in Japan who are building for that platform, but it just d didn't go get I can't read, but it just didn't go over the hump in Europe and America. It's hard to know exactly why, but it didn't gamer a lot. Gamer? Yeah, oh, gamer. But it didn't garner a lot enough audience here for us to continue to build for it. There are plenty of armchair analytics who will tell you that pricey memory cards and a dearth of the first party software are to blame, but in our opinion, the market just isn't interested in dedicated portable gaming devices anymore, especially if they don't have Nintendo on the box. That said, the Vita still has very vocal fans, including Leyden himself. It's still my favorite portable, he continued. It travels with me all the time, and I play Hot Shots Golf consistently. Nice shot, Sean. And that was pulled from Push Square's article by Sammy Barker. Thank you for writing that. But yeah, that's awesome that he's talking about Nintendo too, because the Nintendo Switch is one of the biggest. It copied, I'm gonna say it copied a lot from the PS Vita, but that's what I believe. And the Switch did phenomenally well. Like, it's crazy. I do not personally have a Switch, but I played around enough of it to see what they did with it. Because it's not, you don't need a, like, the what the PS Vita did is that it was in that era where it focused on gimmicky, because it was still in the PlayStation Move, the Wonderbook era. I just started playing Wonderbook on the PS3 because I'd never done it, and yeah, there it was still in that gimmicky era. I think that's one of the reasons why they tried out with the 3G model and with the touch screen, the back touch screen, the little deviance. You punch the screen. It was cool. Like, it was cool. Especially with the Uncharted Golden Abyss, you hold it up to the light, it starts to heat sink, I guess. Heat. I don't know how that worked. Maybe it was because of the camera, or just felt the heat of the light. I don't know exactly how that worked, but move my mic. But it was cool. And Golden Abyss, Uncharted Golden Abyss was a perfect example of why the PS Vita. You need to have a PS Vita. And but that's not the only reason why. The indie games, because indie developers love the PS Vita. The thing with Nintendo though, Nintendo's really pushing just their AAA games. They only do advertising. Like, if an indie developer would to put a game on the Nintendo Switch, it would be barely seen. Because Nintendo doesn't really advertise the indie games as much or at all, basically, because they're focused on their AAA games, and they, I'm guessing they don't seem a lot, from what I've heard, they don't see a lot within the indie, and they want to really push what they make more, and they're not really supporting, like, definitely Steam has that, and PlayStation is getting that indie. PlayStation has a phenomenal indie library. I think it's even better than Steam, because Steam, those PC nerds, Steam has a clutter of indie games. Anybody can make indie games. Anybody. And that's, I like how it goes through the plot process of PlayStation, because PlayStation does, like, I love Toast. What is it? Toast? A game about toast. Toast game. PlayStation does look at their games, and they have some weird oddballs in it that shouldn't be allowed on the PlayStation Store. But I'm glad they do look at their games. And they did with, I don't know if you guys remember, PlayStation Mobile or PSN Minis. Mins. Those were great. But they were trying to add, they were trying to convert mobile games to the PlayStation devices. And for the most part, it worked, and there were some pretty awesome games on there. Like, I still have a couple PlayStation Minis on my PS Vita that are actually really cool. There's the one, that the Sparta one. It was like a God of War clone, but still, that was a really good game. I really liked it. And I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. Comment below if you know. But yeah, the PlayStation and Nintendo thing, that's why I love love PlayStation. I love Nintendo too, but PlayStation, the audience is better with it, and I think Nintendo needs to get their third parties up and running. They need their support. Because first parties aren't gonna, they're gonna last. I know they're gonna last. Third party support is gonna last. But there's gonna be a point where they need third party support. I don't know I'm not gonna say what point that is or why they need that, but I know they do. And third parties definitely need their support, because not everybody can make a AAA game, and having these little indie games, like little side quests, they're amazing. And some, for example, Journey was an indie game, and look how well that turned out. Seriously. But they need that support from it, and the PS Vita definitely gives that support. It does advertising. You see advertising all the time for indie games, and with PlayStation Plus, which is incredibly amazing, PlayStation Plus, if you do not have it, they recently did a price change with it. It's now $60, not $50 anymore. But PlayStation Plus does a great job of giving us indie games, and it gives us tons of indie games all the time. But again, some people hate it for that, because, what is it, like, Disc is coming, this Disc game is coming to the, PlayStation Plus. But let me actually look up right here the PlayStation Plus games, because I did write an article on BrutalGamer.com, about the PlayStation Plus games, and let's see, so the PlayStation Plus games for the lineup for June 2017 are Life is Strange. Life is Strange is an episodic graphic adventure video game developed and published by Square Enix. It follows the story of Max, a girl that discovers she can rewind time as she finds out who she really is, saving her town from destruction. The game floats on the side of a teen drama. It may not seem like it's for you, but once you get into it, you won't put it down. I've never personally played a Life is Strange, but I'm finally have the chance to, because I don't have the I don't have a lot of money to spend on new games, and that's why I love PlayStation Plus. You know, you can pay $60 and you get thousands of dollars worth of games a year. That is an incredible dear to me. Deal to me, and it shouldn't be taken for granted. And I love it. But one thing I do not like is that when you do not have PlayStation Plus anymore, you can't play any of the games you got. But I digress on that. Next up, we got... Now, if you're thinking, screw that, I just want to shoot stuff, well, do I have a great game for you? Killing Floor 2 takes place 1 month after the events of the first Killing Floor. Fighting in an outbreak of zombie-like creatures outside of Europe, which the first game was based, you'll be first person causing mayhem and havoc with one mission: to kill every last thing that moves. Now, Killing Floor 2 also got a lot of critical acclaim because how good it was. And another game I still haven't played, but I've seen a lot of it, and I've seen more of that than Life is Strange. But I'm excited to play both games because both games are awesome. Both games have a unique spin on things, and they're both... What I'm guessing is they're both well done, and that's what I've seen. And that's what, I can't wait to play Killing Floor, because it's first person, you just destroy everything, kill zombies. Who doesn't like killing zombies? It's another zombie killing game. I mean, I feel like this one takes a different spin on it. But yeah, it's another zombie game, and if you like zombie games, go ahead, play it. But if you don't, go ahead, play it, because it's free. On PS3, there will be The Abyss Odyssey and WRC5 World Rally Championship. In Abyss Odyssey, you can play up to four unique characters in this side-scrolling action adventure game developed by ACE Team and published by Atlus. You'll be fighting your inner demons and fight as your enemies with a Kirby-like ability. And I've seen some screenshots of this, and it's like a... It's really cool. I like the art style of the game. And, fighting as your enemies, I thought that was really cool and really cool mechanic. I can't speak. Really cool mechanic that they added in, and that's what it seems like. Fighting as your own enemies. I haven't really seen that in a lot of games, but who's excited for some World Rally Championship racing? You know I am. Have a arcade/sports racer that is sure to give the thrill you need. The only racer I really play is Ridge Racers on the PSP and the Need for Speed Most Wanted on the original Most Wanted on the PlayStation 2, and I feel like those are both great, solid games, and I love the drifting in Ridge Racer, and I also love the driving. It's so smooth and so smooth, so silky smooth in Need for Speed Most Wanted on the PlayStation 2. I love that game on Need for Speed Most Wanted on the PlayStation 2. I have all the Singular and Burger King billboards and the old songs playing, and it pulls me back. It pulls me back to those old days in the PlayStation, playing in my room on the beach house, back in Outer Banks with my family on vacation, playing some Need for Speed Most Wanted. Those are great times. that was a long time ago. Next up on the PS Vita, there will be Neon Chrome and Spy Chameleon. Neon Chrome is a procedurally generated twin stick shooter, was your goal to kill the overseer. Fighting through waves of enemies and destroying the environment along the way gives you opportunities to experiment and make every death a new beginning. Interesting. It's another Hotline Miami clone. Even though Hotline Miami is a clone of other games, but it's all bringing that retro feel. But yeah, this game looks pretty cool. You just shoot stuff. It's basically Hotline Miami, or it's kind of like it. You shoot stuff and you blow up the walls, and you can shoot people through anything. Destruction. I think it has more destruction than Hotline Miami. Definitely more destruction. You can shoot through walls and tear down walls, and but it has the same setup and looks definitely like it. And you have to kill the overseer. But I do like that procedurally generated, and it's kind of like what is that game? Ah, what is that game? It's the night game. It's not Shovel Knight, but it's a night game where you have to go through your ancestors. It's another indie game. You have to go through your ancestors, and every time you die, you restart, and you have to go through the castle again. I don't know the name. I forget the name of it, but that was a pretty fun game too. It was also on PlayStation Plus. That's how I played it. See, indie games with PlayStation Plus, it's a great combo, and it's well supported through the third-party developers community. Last but not least, sorry to burp there. Spy Chameleon is a challenging arcade puzzle game. Use the chameleon's color-changing power to sneak by unsuspecting creatures to grab the key and escape the level. Yeah, this is just here. I think this is the weakest one on the list. Personally, you it's a you gr you are a chameleon. You're a spy chameleon, and you just go around. This area with there's cameras and stuff, and you can't let the camera see you. And when you're blended in with an object, of course, they won't see you. And you have to grab the key and leave. And it's basically just, I don't want to say generic puzzle game, but it kind of is. But it's definitely the weakest one on the list. But it'll be a fun game to play, especially for younger kids. E. But yeah, full lineup. Again, is Killing Floor 2, PS4, Life is Strange, PS4, Abyss Odyssey, PS3. We have a review up on, they have a review up on BrutalGamer.com. Benji reviewed it for the PC, and he reviewed the PS4 version. WRC5 World Rally Championship on PS3 and Neon Chrome on PS Vita, cross-buy with PS4, and Spy Chameleon on PS Vita, cross-buy on PS4. I usually go online and do the roundup and see how much it costs in total, but I don't have that with me, and I just don't feel like doing that. So, yeah. But yeah, I like to see, there's a. An article here. Why would anybody play this? This is something that's kind of a bad thing. At least that's what I think. Says Sony's Jim Ryan about backwards compatibility. And let me spit you some. let me spit some rhymes. So this is kind of the things. I'll tell you what he basically says. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like this is from, let's see, VG247, written by Sherf Said. Sorry if I mentioned your name wrong, but Sherf Said. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like Sony has changed its take on backwards compatibility much. Sony's head of global sales and marketing, Jim Ryan, told Time that he doesn't see why anyone would play old games given the advancements in fidelity achieved today. When we dabbed with backwards compatibility, I can say it I can say it is one of those features that is much requested, but not actually used much, said Ryan. That and I was at a Gran Turismo event recently where they had PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation 4 games, and the PlayStation 1 and the PlayStation 2. They looked ancient. Like, why would anybody play this? Ryan's comments are very surprising, particularly when you consider that Sony is selling those very same old games on PS4 after slightly prettying them up and adding in trophies. It's a bizarre bizarre statement. The company simply not seeing a decent return on investments if it were to add it. Elsewhere in the interview, Ryan boasted about Sony's impressive lead over Microsoft when it comes to console sales in different markets across the world. A 3-1 lead in Europe, which is incredible. But let's talk about that in a second. Jesus. Like, why would he... If you add backwards, I'm still waiting for my Spyro games on the PS Vita. Like, where are my original PlayStation 1 Spyro games? Like, I would love to play those again. I bought them on the PlayStation 3, and I used to play them on the PSP. Enter a code into my iPad. But yeah, where are those games? I want to see those games, and I want to see that backwards compatibility, because if Xbox did it, why can't PlayStation? And they say it's simply not getting enough. What do you mean it's simply not? That's a terrible statement. It's just not getting it's much used. I think they're underestimating the power of backwards compatibility, and how he says right here, they looked ancient. Like, why would anybody play this? What do you mean by that? People play retro games all the time. They make new games that look like old. You go back into the 70s. Exaggerating a little bit. You go back in the 70s and you show a kid Mario. And then you show him Shovel Knight. And he's like, wow, that's the advancements in technology? These graphics look the same. If you know what I mean, retro. They're both retro-ish games. One's newer. You know what I mean. But people still play retro games. I still play retro games. I put them all up because we're moving. I used to have a whole bunch over here. But I play Game Boy all the time. I play Nintendo, old Nintendo games all the time. PlayStation 1 all the time. I just had time to go back to my PlayStation 3. PlayStation 3 because I'm out of school right now until I have to go for graduation. But it doesn't make any sense. Why? This is just him being, a jerk or whatever. They look ancient. Like, why? Who would anybody? He's a marketer. He's global sales and marketing, and he says they look ancient. Yeah, I just don't understand. What is he not seeing? I don't think they implemented enough to even test it, unless they're just doing it on testers, because if they're just doing it on little kids, of course. Little kids want to play. There's the gamers, and then there's the casual gamers. You know, the ones that get the yearly sports games, or the yearly Call of Duty or Battlefield, the yearly Assassin's Creed game, even though this year they didn't come out with one. There's those people. And if they're just, which are a huge majority, but they can't just focus on those people. There's a huge amount of people that still want to play retro games and still want to have that experience and play those games and having them on the PS4 would be a great opportunity, even though they just took away PlayStation Now from the PS Vita, and I think they took it away from the PS3. I could be wrong. I think they did. But having that on the PS4 is incredible, and not doing that, they're missing a giant opportunity of earning money and catering to a bigger audience, because retro gaming is still alive and going. Because you go on YouTube, and shout out to Metal Jesus Rocks, but he has an amazing channel on fix my iPad again. He has an amazing channel on retro games, and I watch him all the time on Retro Game Room. Is that Intergalactic Space Arcade? They're an awesome channel too, all about retro games, even though they also do modern reviews. But they're an awesome channel, and go check them both out, because they do retro games, and they talk about retro games, and the way they talk about retro games, and they do collection videos. It's just incredible, and Sony is definitely missing a big opportunity here. Even though it's one guy from Sony, this this Jim character, Jim Ryan, sounds like he's running for president. But yeah, it's just one guy, and notice not how the entirety of Sony feels, but I hope and I wish Sony goes into this as backwards compatibility, because the Xbox 360 backwards compatibility support has been going off, and some of most of the Xbox 360 games has been on the top of the charts on most played charts on the Xbox Live. Not to mention seeing a sales boost, such as in the case of Black Ops and Black Ops 2. They're definitely missing an opportunity here, and I hope they go that way. But yeah, their sales in Europe. Sales in Europe, Jesus, man. 3-1. Oh my god. Oh, I'm stretching too. Oh, it's just so amazing. Ugh. But 3-1. Dear god. That 3-1 lead is amazing, and Sony, the PS4 definitely won the battle, and I'll be covering the E3 coverage and everything. I'm recording this before E3, so sorry about that, guys. But yeah, I'm recording this before E3, and their fight, PS4 won. I don't know if I'm going to get a PS4 Pro, but PS4 is doing very well. In fact, if you're watching NPD for the PS4 and Xbox One sales, you put those together, and console gaming has never been as big and vibrant as it is right now, and that's just here in the States. He explains, Jim Layden. No, not Jim Layden. No, that was Sean Layden, the other guy I mentioned before. But yeah, the PS4 is definitely winning. Hopefully they do not screw up the Scorpio, because they, in this fighting battle, Xbox does need to get a punch in there sometime, please. I mean, the backwards compatibility thing was a punch. It was a tap. But Xbox definitely needs to up their game. If they talk about TV again, ooh. The Scorpio. We made this giant game console so for you to watch some great shows and have some good TV content. Because, you know, TV, right? But Scorpio, I hope Scorpio does well, and hope it's a big advancement, because it's definitely, what they're saying is going to be powerful, the PS4 Pro, which I believe. PS4 Pro is an upgrade, but it's a small upgrade, I'm going to say. But I hope it does well, and I hope at E3 Scorpio does well, because I'll be definitely covering E3 a lot, and I'll be live streaming it too. But that's gonna be an awesome time, and it's definitely great right now to be a PS4 and Xbox fan. But in the States and North America, it's a 2-1 against Xbox, and that is it's awesome to hear, actually. It's great to hear that PlayStation's doing so well after I guess you can say they're owed that, because what they did with the PS3 during that E3 launch, during that 2006, what was it, 2006 E3 press conference, that was horrible. That was horrendous. The PS3, it will cost eight, what was it? Was it six hundred, 800? It was either, I think it was $600. I think they said the PS, I think it was 600, 800. I don't remember, but Jesus, 600 or $800 is way too much. And then their press conference was just horrible. But luckily the next year, they brought it back with the PS4 Slim. Really saved everything, but I digress on that topic. Another topic for another time, but yeah, it's definitely going places, and I can't wait to continue playing my PS4 and getting Destiny 2 and playing that with you guys. But last topic here, small topic. A Vietnamese skincare client is using Umbrella Corp's logo, and they're totally not making the T virus. Another article by VGA 24 7. Shabana. Gonna say that wrong, but yeah. The zombie apocalypse starts with a facial. Yes, yeah, skincare. Vietnamese is using the Umbrella Corporation for the Umbrella logo. I don't know how they could use that or why they're using that, but yeah, spotted over on NeoGAF, the Vietnamese clinic has gone full Umbrella. The last image is actually a Resident Evil wallpaper. Yeah, that's what Resident Evil wallpaper next to, and it's the exact same image. Their logos are identical. What is happening? Are we witnessing at the beginning of Umbrella's diabolical genesis, according to Google's Translate? Yeah, Google's Translate, state-of-the-art equipment with technology transformed from Korea, the United States, and Europe, will solve your skin problems by turning you into the living dead, because zombies are a carefree bunch who don't give a fig about the state of their face. This is how Umbrella started out. The company has addressed the logo on their Facebook page, saying that they were surprised about the coincidence. Yeah, sure. The logo was created for them externally, and they are currently investigating the situation. Or they're trying to throw us off the scent. Either way, it's a bit of Monday morning silliness. Yeah. Somebody created it for them externally, and I guess they felt lazy. Really lazy. And I'm gonna assume it's a practical joke, but yeah, it's. Jesus, that's sad and scary. Yeah, watch out, the T virus and whatever the virus is, we're all gonna die from the zombie apocalypse, impending doom. But I hope you guys enjoyed the PlayStation Monday, the Monday morning PlayStation podcast. This is the first one, so it was kind of a train wreck, but I managed to make it through the 45 minutes, and I hope to have some guests on sometimes, talk about some things, but I hope you guys enjoyed it, And I hope you guys stay tuned. Remember, each and every week on Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, there will be an MP3 and YouTube video coming out. YouTube.com/DylanLapore and SoundCloud.com/Dylan_Lapore. And if you feel like throwing me a couple bucks to help keep these lights on and hopefully get SoundCloud Pro Unlimited, go to youtube.streamlabs.com/DylanLapore, and there's a pound sign at the end of that Lapore because they have to make it difficult. And I hope you guys enjoy the video or MP3. Thank you, and I'm glad I could serve you. This is Dylan Lapore signing off. Bye.